Chapter 40. Hello again, hun. The last 36 hours at Lisa's country house had been uneventful. They'd each taken their turn to stand watch on both nights, and it was clear whoever had been after them were not yet aware of their current location. Jack had just finished his watch when he heard someone in the kitchen. Lisa was making coffee when he entered, sawn-off shotgun under his arm. The smell of bacon permeated the air. "Well, that bastard gets sworn in today," he said. She turned and looked sternly at him. "And a good morning to you too, Mr. Castle." "Sorry, babe. Good morning." "You want some breakfast, hun?" "Tea and a bacon sandwich would be great." She frowned at him as he laid her mutilated shotgun on the counter. "You've made a right mess of that gun." He picked up the weapon and smiled sheepishly. Most of the stock had been cut off, and the double barrels had been sawn down to a third of their original length. "I'll get you a new one when this is all over, sweetie. Even send you to Italy to get it fitted properly." She took the bacon from under the grill. "Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it." The big TV on the wall was silent, but showed images of the Capitol building. A huge stage had been built on the front steps. Red, white, and blue banners hung everywhere, and a massive Stars and Stripes festooned the front of the imposing edifice. The screen shot then panned to reveal the already gathering crowds. "Christ, look at that," said Jack. "There's thousands there already, and it's only 6 o'clock. Tom entered. "You Yanks love a parade." Jack chuckled. "Don't they just?" "You two want to get your own breakfast, then?" said Lisa with feigned indignation. Grigory came in. "I love Americans. They always spend plenty in my restaurant." The men laughed and Lisa shook her head. As they sat around the big breakfast bar, Tom said, "What time are we heading back to DC?" Jack looked at his Rolex. It was almost 6:15. "We should leave about 7:30, right, Lisa?" "Yeah, usually takes about an hour to get back to the apartment from here. Probably a bit longer today, though. The roads are going to be busy with inauguration crowds." "Okay," said Jack. "Let's eat, then get ready to leave." The day a president is inaugurated is not a public holiday, and although most people should be working, not many actually do. Those who don't get to join the massed crowds in front of the Capitol building watch the ceremony on TV, but it still means the streets and traffic around the city are decidedly busier than normal. It was almost 9 o'clock when the Ford stopped just before DuPont Circle. Lisa had been right and the journey had taken almost half as long again. Jack and Lisa got out and waved to several taxis before one finally stopped and picked them up. "Connecticut Avenue, please, North End," said Lisa as she climbed in. The yellow cab eased away from the sidewalk. In the 4x4, Grigory gunned the engine and almost knocked over a cyclist as he forced the big truck into the busy stream of traffic. He smiled as he looked in the rearview mirror, the irate cyclist shaking his fist and then raising a middle finger. Another dangerous manoeuvre, and he was in front of a small delivery van. Several beeps on the horn from yet another unhappy road user made him smile again. He settled into the fast-moving stream and followed Jack's taxi, now only 2 cars in front. On Connecticut Avenue, the traffic heading into the city was congested, but northbound carriageway moved swiftly, so it took less than 10 minutes to get from DuPont Circle to Lisa's apartment block. The taxi pulled off the road, into the short driveway, and up to the front of the stylish building. Jack paid the driver and watched as he drove off. They entered the foyer and were greeted by the old concierge. "Good morning, Miss Reynard." Lisa smiled and walked over to the desk. "Morning, Gary. How are you today?"
"I'm good, miss.
Looking forward to the ceremony. You know, I served with the president back in Saigon." Lisa continued to smile.
"Really?
You must be very proud, Gary. Any post and deliveries for me?"
"Yes, ma'am. Hold on 1 minute, please."
Jack watched as the old guy went into the back office, coming out a few seconds later with a small pile of envelopes and a large, flat, reinforced cardboard box.
"There you are, miss."
"Thanks, Gary. There's just one other thing, I'm afraid. I seem to have left my keys at the office. Would you mind asking the superintendent if he can come up and let me in, please?"
"Of course, miss."
"Thanks, Gary. See you later."
Lisa collected the envelopes and Jack picked up the big box. He smiled as he read the bold lettering. Calvini, formal dress hire. As they waited for the lift, they heard Gary talking to the superintendent. By the time they got to her apartment door, the superintendent was already waiting for them. Lisa shook her head.
How did you manage to get up here before us, George?
George smiled. I was on the floor above, miss. The door was unlocked and Jack went inside. Lisa spent a second or two talking to George and then followed. She put the envelopes down on the hall stand and went into the sitting room. Jack was standing with his back to her, the box still in his hands.
What are you doing, hun?
Jack stepped aside and Lisa saw the man sitting in the big armchair, feet up on the footstool, a silenced Smith & Wesson pointing straight at Jack. The gunman smiled and said,
Hello again, hun.
Jack recognised him as one of the men who'd taken them 2 days ago. This time he was alone, and Jack was not tied up. Jack's brain was racing. The man was seated, feet up, definitely an easy opponent in that position. The weapon was a problem, but there were only 10 feet between him and the gunman. Throw the box, step to the side, dive on the bastard. Jack was about to make the move when a second man's voice behind him said,
Don't go trying any hero-type shit, Limey.
The seated man stood and walked towards Jack, a slight smirk on his lips.
I don't know how you managed to get away from that barn, buddy, but it ain't gonna happen again.
The smirk turned to a sneer and the man's eyes narrowed.
If it were up to me, I'd put a bullet in both your heads right here.
He waved the gun at Lisa.
But there are people who want you to just vanish.
Yeah, said the second man. And this time, you're going to stay vanished. We're going to take the elevator down to the parking garage. We're going on a little ride. Now move your fucking asses.
They left the apartment and walked towards the lifts. At the end of the corridor was a small seating area. A rather large, jolly-looking man was sitting reading one of the glossy magazines. He looked over the top of the journal and smiled pleasantly as the group approached. The first gunman pressed the button, and all four looked up at the lights of the floor indicator. The second gunman did not know what hit him. Grigory's Glock smashed into the back of his head, rendering him unconscious before he hit the floor. The first man turned swiftly to find the big Russian's gun pointing at his head. Jack took hold of the gunman's arm and slowly eased it out of his pocket.
Nice and easy, asshole.
He took the revolver from the man's hand and then headbutted him hard in the face. The gunman fell back against the lift door, moaning, blood streaming from his nose.
That's for the lump on my head.
The man on the floor was coming round and began to groan. Grigory gave him a hefty kick between the shoulder blades.
Get your ass up, shithead.
Jack bent down and retrieved the second man's gun. He turned to the man holding his bloodied nose.
You've still got her keys?
As the blood ran down his face, he said something inaudible and nodded. Hand 'em over, said Jack. Nice and easy now. The lift door opened and Tom Hillman stepped out.
Oh no, you've started without me.
Not wanting to be involved with any protracted police inquiry, and knowing there was a leak in the FBI, Lisa had called her controller and briefly outlined the morning's events. Her controller was already at the Capitol building, so he'd dispatched a senior agent, along with half a dozen men, to take the suspects back to Fort Meade for interrogation. It was almost 11 o'clock when the NSA agents left Lisa's apartment with the two bloodied and decidedly unhappy assailants. As they were leaving the flat, Jack took hold of the first gunman's arm. He leaned close to the man's ear and said quietly,
If it were up to me, I'd put a bullet in both of your heads right here.